Thanks for joining us here at the Bridge Church VA Online. To listen to previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, download our app in your iPhone or Android App Store, or visit us online at www.thebridgechurchva.com. We hope this week's message speaks to you in a new way, and hope to see you soon.
Great privilege today to have this opportunity to share with you. I love your pastor, and I love your first lady, your leading lady here. They are a jewel to not only me and my family, our church, but they are also a blessing to the body of Christ. Can you join me in giving God praise for the gifts that you have in Pastor Jones, and they are so awesome, and I'm so proud of what God is doing. This is just so awesome. Just tell your neighbor, this is awesome. Now say it, that was the wrong neighbor. Turn to another neighbor and just say it with a big smile on your face. Say, neighbor, this is awesome. This is great. I want to invite you this morning to the Word of God. I want you to go with me to the Gospel of Luke chapter 17. The Gospel of Luke chapter 17. And it is, the Lord led me to this passage today for the season of transition that you are in, preparing for what is next in your ministry assignment. And I believe today that if you really grab hold to the revelation that is given in this text today, that it is going to help usher you in to a greater dimension for what God has for you as a church and has for you as a ministry. It is a unique parable that Jesus tells here that I happen to just stumble across in my devotion and in my reading, and it has had tremendous impact on me in terms of understanding the importance of servanthood and becoming a servant and being a servant and a follower of Jesus Christ. I want you to hear it today as we read Luke 17, beginning at verse 7 of Luke 17 down through verse 10 will be our focus for this preaching moment and this teaching moment out of this gospel. Are you there? You got it? All right, here we go. Listen to what it says. It says, Jesus tells this parable. He says, suppose one of you has a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Will he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down to eat? Won't he rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink, and after that you may eat and drink? Will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants, and we have only done our duty. Before you take your seat, if you would be so kind and look your neighbor in the face one more time and just tell them these words real simple. Say, neighbor, oh neighbor, it's my pleasure. You may be seated. It's my pleasure. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today for this gathering, for this time of worship and this time of inspiration. And now, Father, I pray that your word will go forth. I thank you that this ground is now fertile from our worship. Speak to our hearts. Give us revelation. Give us understanding. Give us insight. Holy Spirit, in this moment now, we ask that you would be our teacher. Speak to us in a powerful and unique way today. In Jesus' name, be strong now in this place. And we all say together, amen. It was during a visit to my favorite fast food restaurant, and it happens to be your pastor's as well. And me and my family, along with my mother-in-law, had stopped there after practice, one of my son's practices, and we were just grabbing a bite to eat. And after we had placed our normal orders, mine is usually a number one with a lemonade tea split. And everybody placed their orders, and we went on to our seat, and as we were sitting there dining, small talking and chatting, my mother-in-law noticed that in her chicken tender meal, she was short on a tender. And as the waitress, you know, that was a major. And as one of the attendants was walking by, who was asking if did we need refills or need our drinks refreshed, in that moment, my mother-in-law shared with her that she was missing a tender in her meal count. And without any hesitation, without any reservation, with a wonderful smile on her face, the attendant, who did not make the mistake, took that box back. She left that box and went back and shared with the staff that this six-count meal was missing a tender, right? And she came back with a fresh meal count. Without any hesitation, without any reservation, with a wonderful smile on her face, very apologetic. And then she brought my mother-in-law a fresh set of six chicken tenders. I began to praise God, because now I knew in that moment there was overflow in the house. And it was in that moment I was so impressed behind the customer service that was demonstrated by that attendant. Now, any of you that have ever gone to Chick-fil-A, you know one of the things that Chick-fil-A prides itself on is their customer service. Matter of fact, in recent articles that I was reading, it talked about and emphasized how Chick-fil-A has literally transformed the fast food industry by two words, please and thank you. And in that article, it talked about how Chick-fil-A is transforming the fast food industry simply behind their customer service, behind emphasizing the words please and thank you, has now caused a revolution throughout the fast food industry. We all know that Chick-fil-A leads in sales, they lead in customer service, they lead in terms of being closed on Sunday, honoring the Sabbath, and how they are still one of the top fast food industry restaurants, simply behind emphasizing what has become a lost commodity in our society, customer service. Please and thank you. Now, what gravitated my heart and gripped my heart about that is when I begin to think about, regardless of race, regardless of creed, whoever walks through those doors, no matter what color they are, no matter what creed, whoever encounters them and whatever the exchange is, it is always the same. Regardless, you, me, whoever walks in receives the same kind of treatment, the same kind of customer service, and the same kind of rapport, because a culture has ultimately been established within this restaurant. It starts from the head and it flows all the way down to whoever the attendants are, whoever the student is, whoever the senior is, regardless of whoever, they have now embraced and become a part of the culture that now oozes out of the heart and spirit of the founder, Truett Cathy, whose philosophy and teaching was that of custom, of that was of servanthood, that stemmed back to his early upbringing as a Christian, that carried through his being a Sunday school teacher, that he emphasized not only in his church within his own family, but also now within the restaurant that he established. He established it with the fundamental principle of servanthood. Now, what gripped me about this is I begin to think about Heavenly Jones, how Chick-fil-A seems to get this better than the church. That a young student at 16, 17 can embrace the principle of servanthood, and then we struggle with grooming and getting servants in the church. That Truett Cathy, who adopted his teachings and philosophy from the greatest servant leader that this world has ever known, but yet the one that he adopted this philosophy from, Jesus Christ, it seems as though in the church we struggle with raising up servants. But yet employees can take the same principles, the same teachings, and transform transform an entire fast food restaurant industry behind this same principle. Can I ask you a question? What would it look like, Bridge, if you begin to take seriously the assignment of servanthood? What could you transform in this community, in this city, in this world, if we too begin to grab hold of the wonderful principle that would transform not only your life, but the world of serving? That's exactly what Jesus emphasizes in this unique principle, this parable that he lifts up before us. I want you to hear it again. Listen at what Jesus begins to emphasize. And I believe today that there are a few powerful points that I want to just drop in your spirit, and hopefully you will grab hold of them today, that will help transform this church and continue what God is ultimately preparing you for if you get this in your spirit. Listen at what Jesus says again. He says, suppose one of you has a servant, and this servant, watch what he's engaged in. He says, has a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Will he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down and eat? Question mark. Won't he rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink, and after that you may eat and drink? Will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. Here's the first thing that I think Jesus begins to emphasize in this parable that he tells about serving and servanthood is, number one, he wants us to understand that serving is not always sensational. Serving is not always sensational. Check it out. Look at it. Check out the text. Notice Jesus says this servant, this one servant that this master has, is probably a bond servant, that this servant is the only servant or slave that this particular master has. And this particular servant has both the field duty and the house duty. Notice what this servant engages in. Notice he says, notice this servant has been going from plowing the field and looking after the sheep. Watch this now. He goes from plowing fields, which is back-breaking labor. Then he turns around and he has the assignment and task of watching after the sheep. Who's ready to sign up for that? Right? He goes on one day, he may be plowing the field. Then the next day, he may be watching after the sheep. He goes from backbreaking to boring, watching after sheep. Nothing exciting there, nothing exhilarating there. It is a monotonous task. Taking sheep, moving sheep from one place to the next, watching them graze, keeping them out of trouble, and he has to do this every day. And maybe there are some days where he has to do both field work and sheep work. It is somewhat monotonous. It is somewhat mundane. There's not always anything glamorous about it. There's not always anything exciting or exhilarating about it. And that's one of the things I want to help you to understand, that sometimes when it comes to serving, it is not always sensational. Let the church say amen. It's not always sensational. It is not always sensational. And I think sometimes we in the church, we are guilty of false advertisement. Because we sometimes try to bait you into getting involved in serving by telling you how much fun you're going to have. And the reality is sometimes when it comes to setting up every week and lugging equipment every week and being on post and being on a task and doing your weekly duties as you prepare for worship and you're a part of whatever teams you are a part of, it's not always fun. Sometimes it's cold. Sometimes it's hot. You got things going on. You got to show up early. You got to stay late. Am I talking to anybody in the room, right? And you have all of this going on, and it's not always sensational. And so what we need to be reminded of today is the fact of what I remember reading about a missionary who came back from one of his missionary journeys. And he was asked by a reporter, how much fun did they have on their missionary journey? And he paused for a moment, and he looked at that reporter after he paused. He said, well, we didn't have much fun because the work that we were engaged in was really hard and tedious work. He says, but while we didn't have much fun, God gave us great joy. And I want you to know today that there is no joy that you will ever know until you learn the joy of serving and helping others. Yeah, some of you discover that there is no greater joy that you will have or ever feel or experience is when God puts you in a position to allow your life to bless somebody else's life. There is no greater joy than you will ever feel or ever come to know. Is there anybody here that has come to discover that in your own life, that when you learn to serve and help and do for others, there is no feeling like that feeling that God can use somebody like me to be a blessing to somebody else? The first thing that this text shows is this servant goes from the field of plowing and then turning around looking after sheep. Number one, we got to get today that serving is not always sensational. It's not always glamorous. It is not always exciting. But through the process, God is going to give you great joy. Here's the second thing. Now watch what it goes on to say. Watch it. He transitions and he says, suppose one of you has a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Will he say to the servant when he comes into from the field, come along now and sit down to eat? Question mark. Or would he rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink. After that, you may eat and drink. Wow, watch this now, here it is. This servant been in the field all day long, plowing, looking after the sheep, right? And so he says, when he gets home, would the master say to the servant, come on in, I know you've been working hard all day. Here are your slippers, here's your robe. Sit down, let me fix you something to eat. You relax, you chill. Would you recline? Would the master say that to the servant? There's a question mark there. And we already know the implied answer is what, y'all? No, he ain't gonna say that to the servant, right? But watch what he says. He says, rather, he says, come on in here now, fix me something to eat. Wait on me, then after you fix my food, then after that, you may eat and drink. Man, what's the point? Here's the point, second thing. Is number one, serving is not always sensational. Secondly, serving has to be sustained. He's been in the field all day. He's been working 9 to 5. He's been serving at church. He's been serving in the ministry. But then, y'all, he got to go home and serve some more. I want to talk to you because I think this is a point that, especially by you being a young church, that I want to emphasize to a lot of young leaders is serving that Jesus implies in this text, a true servant serves anywhere and everywhere. He don't just serve in the field, but he comes home and he serves at home too. I know you're an anointed worship leader. I know you have a great calling on your life. I know you're a great teacher. You're a great musician. You've been working hard all day long. You've done a 9 to 5. You've done 12 hours. I know. And I know you would love to come home and just grab the remote control, turn the ESPN, and just kick back and recline. Because you've been working hard all day. You've been serving others all day, right? I know you would rather come home and not have to worry about homework and not worry about cooking dinner. And you would just rather come home and put a bath bomb in the tub and light some candles, and then after that, relax and recline and go to bed. But how many of you know life ain't that way? Right? Because you got to go home, and you got to sustain what you've been doing all day. He goes home, and he has to serve some more. My God, I want to help somebody understand that your marriage, that your family life, that all of this, the things that you've been carrying on throughout the course of your day, guess what? You got to go home and you got to sustain that. Man, as a pastor, as a preacher who serves people all day long, guess what? I got to go home and I have a wife and kids that I got to serve as well. And listen, God is going to get just as much glory out of me being a servant at home that he is when I'm in the sanctuary and in the marketplace. Let the church say amen. Somebody ought to give God praise right there. Listen, wives, listen, you got to understand, and you already know this, that when you work hard all day long, you got to go home and what? You got to serve some more, because serving has got to be sustained. So husbands got to serve. Wives got to serve. Children got to serve. And that service that we have has to be sustained, because guess what? When I am a true servant of God, guess what, y'all? And I have a servant's heart, I will serve anywhere and everywhere, not just on my assigned Sundays, not just my assigned task, but I will serve because at my heart I am a servant, and I gotta sustain my service. I gotta sustain it. Everybody say sustain it. That's what Jesus is teaching here, that this servant goes from the field, then he goes to the house, and he don't get a break. He don't get a break. That's why I tell single people, don't rush it. Enjoy the season that God has you in. Well, you can go home and eat a Spam sandwich if that's all you want. You can pick up something from a drive-thru. You ain't got to worry about nobody else, because guess what? When you get a wife, when you get a husband, and when you get kids, guess what? Service got to be sustained at a whole nother level. He says, now, he goes home, man, he got to put up his boots. He has to put up his boots and then wash his hand and put on an apron. And then he got to go in, and he has to cook the master some food. And then the text says, after that, everybody say, after that. After that, now you can eat. Right? After that, after you've done all of that, after laundry, after trash has been taken out, after homework has been done, after that, now you can sit down and eat. After you've done all of that, now you can eat. That's the whole point. He wants us to understand that when it comes to being a true servant, one, it's not sensational. Two, we gotta sustain it. Now, here's the third thing that the text shows us. He says, now, would the master turn around and thank the servant for what he's done? Y'all see it there? That's what he says. He says, well, he thanked the servant because he did what he was told to do. Another question mark. What's the implied answer? No, the master would not thank the servant. Now, somebody said, well, man, that's kind of harsh. What's wrong with telling somebody thank you, right? I mean, he's been working in the field. Now he came home, put on his apron, cooked up a nice hot meal, and now the master can't even say thank you? That seems a little harsh. Seems like the master is a little stuck on himself. Can't tell the servant thank you. Well, you got to dig a little deeper to get to the point of what Jesus is really emphasizing. See, he's really emphasizing and dealing with the Pharisaic mindset. And the Pharisaic mindset was, somehow they thought that based upon what they did, now in some way indebted God to them. And so what Jesus wanted to now emphasize, as he wants to deal with a powerful point here, is somehow Pharisees begin to teach and they begin to live by them doing good deeds for others, somehow God owed them something. Yeah, Sometimes you and I can be like that. Here I am serving. Here I am showing up. I'm giving, I'm supporting, I'm teaching. I'm on the worship team. And then our attitude sometimes is when things happen in our lives, this ain't supposed to happen to me. Because God, I'm serving you. Why am I dealing with this? Why am I going through this? Because God, I'm giving, I'm serving, I'm coming to church, I'm supporting and helping. And sometimes our attitude with God can be, we're not supposed to deal with anything or go through anything. And somehow, based upon what we're doing, in some strange way, God owes us something for what we've been doing for him. And notice what Jesus says in the text. He says, would the master thank the servant for what he's done? Implied answer is no. Y'all, it's the same thing I had to teach my son. I have, my oldest is 15 and my youngest is 10. And on one Saturday morning, for some of you that got kids, you can probably relate to this. And, you know, it was a Saturday morning before we had practice and before the day got started. And we woke up and said, okay, y'all, get the rooms clean. You know, clean your bathroom. Sure to put all these shoes up. Change the linen on your beds. You know, do all the normal stuff, house stuff, and all of that, right? And so after they had done all that, you know, I think my oldest son was trying to be funny, but I was a little sensitive that morning, and I didn't see it as a big joke. And so he came in, and after he did all that, him and his brother did all that, then he turns around and said, okay, you can pay me now. And I flashed back to growing up in Florida in my parents' house, and I had a flashback moment. And I said, hold on, let's get this straight. So you want me to pay you for changing the linen on my bed? The room that you sleep in, that's not really your room, it's my room. Those LeBrons, those Kobes, that you put back up in the closet, they're not really yours, they're really mine. The video games to the Xbox that y'all had to go up and straighten up, they're not really your games. They're mine. Because you ain't buying anything. You don't pay the mortgage. You everything in here belongs to me and your mother. Let's get that straight. The clothes, the jeans, the sneakers, all of it is ours. Not yours. It's ours. The bed is mine. It's not your bed. So you want me to pay you for cleaning up my room? Right? I looked at him and I said, boy, I don't owe you nothing. But sometimes you and I, we can be the same way with God. Yeah? And the reality is God does not owe us anything. Do I have a witness in here? Matter of fact, God doesn't owe us anything because he already, what, owns us. Because in a couple of weeks, we're going to celebrate the fact that he gave his life for us on the cross. And he paid the ultimate price when he gave his life for us. Do I have a witness in here? And you and I ought to never lose sight of the fact that the Lord doesn't owe us. He owns us. Our bodies belong to him. Everything we have belongs to him. It's all his. Do I have a witness in here? Can somebody just take a moment and give God a praise, because it all belongs to him. And so here's the thing he's trying. He said, would he thank the servant? Here's the point. What he wants us to understand is, one, serving is not sensational. Two, serving has to be sustained. But thirdly, he wants us to understand that our serving is our sacrifice. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. What I had to teach my son is, you keeping your room clean, you straightening up what you have, that is the sacrifice that you have to give as a part of paying your rent to live in this house. Listen, me and your mother sacrifices for the stuff that you have that you can enjoy. Everybody in here has to sacrifice. God, you through Jesus Christ, has already given and paid the ultimate sacrifice. And so you and I, in exchange, in return, have to sacrifice for him. And we ought to be glad to sacrifice for a God who loves us the way he loves us and has done what he has done for us. And so that's why I serve, because that is my reasonable service, my contribution, my sacrifice to God when I think about all he's done for me. This is my sacrifice. So when I give, when I get up early, when I set up, when I come to greet, when I work with children, when I teach, when I'm a part of this ministry, that's my sacrifice. But I want everybody to look at your hands. Just take your hands out for a moment. Look at them. Look at your hands. Just when you want to get ready to complain, just when you think you can't take anymore, just when you want to have a pity party, just when you want to give up and say, you know what, man, I'm tired of being on these teams. I'm tired, man, and I seem to be the only one. My feet hurt. I'm tired of being on this stuff, and I know we're getting ready to go to a new building, and we're going to have more work to do over there. Greater responsibility. Look at your hands. I want you to ask yourself a question. Do you see any blood yet? Are you bleeding yet? Are you bleeding? Do you see the blood coming? Does anybody see the blood coming out your hand? No? Well, that means you can take some more. Because the ultimate sacrifice was from our Savior. And he sacrificed to the point where blood came out of his hands. So just when you want to say, I'm done, I can't take anymore, I have no more to give, I have no more to sacrifice, I just want you to look at your hands. And I want you to walk around the church. Guess when you hear somebody getting ready to complain, talking about they're tired, complaining that they can't get any help, just to say, show me your hands. I don't see no blood. You all right. Get back to work. Because Jesus gave, he served, he sacrificed to not only to the point that he bled, but that he died. And I don't think any of us are at that point. So we got to remember that when it comes to serving, one, it ain't sensational. Two, it has to be sustained. Three, it's my sacrifice. Everybody say, it's my sacrifice. Here's the last thing. So, he wants the servant, and he wants us to understand that when it comes to serving, our attitude should be, we should never look for anybody to do anything for us in return. That when I serve and give, that's my sacrifice. Nobody owes me anything. Yes, now that is not saying that it's nothing wrong with showing appreciation. It's nothing wrong with showing people that you're grateful and you're thankful for them. But what he's really dealing with is he's dealing with the attitude and the heart of the servant that I'm not looking for nothing. I'm not looking to be paid. I'm not looking for my name to show up on the screen. I'm not doing what I'm doing for anybody to give me any credit. I'm doing what I'm doing because it is within my heart to do. Amen, somebody? Yeah. I'm doing it because I understand that I'm a servant. Nobody owes me anything. I'm glad to be able to do it. Here's the last thing, and we're done. Take this to the house. Is... The last part is, watch what he says in the last verse. He says, when he thanked the servant for what he's doing, what he's told to do, we already know now the implied answer is no. Verse 10 in closing says, so you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. Now, it's an interesting transition in this text because in the first part of this parable that Jesus tells, he wants you and I to identify with the master. That you and I assume the role and the posture as if we were the master. In the last part of the text, that last verse, he now shifts so that we now take on the posture of the servant. Watch this. He says, so you also, when you've done everything that you were told to do, you should say that I am an unworthy servant. I have only done my duty. Lastly, we understand today that serving is not sensational. We understand today that our serving has to be sustained. We understand today that serving is a sacrifice. And then the last thing this text teaches us today is that serving is satisfying. Watch this. He says, so you also, when you've done everything you were told to do, you should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. In other words, the servant says, man, after going from the field all day, looking after the sheep, after plowing the fields, after coming to the house and having to fix the master's food, after a long day, he is not looking for anything. He's not taking a posture that nobody owes him anything. Watch his attitude. Look at his attitude. He says, so after you've done everything that you were told to do, watch what the servant says. He turns around and he says, Master, I am an unworthy servant. I've only done my duty. In other words, he says to the master, Master, it's been my pleasure to serve you. It's been my pleasure. You should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what our duty is. The servant has found great satisfaction in being able to serve his master. Man, he has found great fulfillment. He has found great joy in being able to be a blessing to his master. You know, I'm like, man, maybe he began to think about, you know, this is how I connected with this. There used to be a time, and there's a time from time to time, my mother who lives in Florida, and from time to time, she would call me because the month would have gotten a little long, and you know, she don't have, you know, enough to get through the month. Anybody ever know anything about having a long month? So sometimes when she called me and said, hey son, you know, I need XYZ, need to do XYZ, and I'd be like, okay mom, whatever you need, just boom, I go to the bank, put it in our account, transfer it over, and we'd go on. And then, you know, she would say stuff like to me, Jones, and she would say something, you know, as soon as I, you know, my retirement check could come or my social security check, I'm gonna put it back in your account. And you know, they used to bother me. You know, I'm like, mom, you tripping. Right? You tripping. You ain't gonna give me that back. Whatever you've done, whatever I'm able to do for you, I'm glad that God has put me in a position to be able to do it. Because I begin to think about, this is the woman that one gave birth to me. And this is the woman that took care of me when I was sick. This is the woman that fed me. This is the woman that has nurtured me. This is the woman that has supported me through every juncture. This is the woman that put clothes on my back, food in my stomach, and who nursed me back to health when I was sick. Are y'all here? This is the woman that helped send me to Norfolk State, that when I walked across the stage, I didn't owe anybody anything, my mother and my father. And now God has put me in a position to be able to be a blessing and do something for her. Listen, every time she calls me, y'all, I don't get an attitude. I don't get upset. Guess what, y'all? I am glad that God has put me in a position that I can be a blessing to her. Do I have a witness in this room? I said, Mama, you don't owe me anything. It's my pleasure. Now, come in. Let me get y'all as I code. Can I tell you, we ought to be the same way when it comes to God. When you think about, you wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for God. You wouldn't have what you have if it wasn't for God. You wouldn't live where you live if it wasn't for God. You wouldn't have jobs. You wouldn't have degrees. Do I have any witnesses here? We wouldn't have any of this if it wasn't for God. And so now God doesn't owe us. Guess what? We ought to be glad to be able to do something for somebody else. Do I have any witnesses here? Can you look at somebody and say, neighbor, it's my pleasure. So in the fact that God can use somebody broken like me, somebody messed up like me, and can take somebody's life like mine and use it for his glory, it's my pleasure to be able to serve. I think that's what the servant thought about. He wouldn't have a place to stay. He wouldn't have food to eat if it wasn't for his master. And anything he can do for his his master, his attitude was, it's my pleasure. And can I tell you, Bridge, if you take that attitude and understand the true heart of a servant, you can not only transform Hampton Roads, but you can help transform the world. If Chick-fil-A can do it in the fast food industry, what can we do for the kingdom of God? It's my pleasure to serve. It's my pleasure. The servant tapped in to understanding that serving leads to satisfaction. He says, it's my pleasure. I've only done my duty. I consider me an unworthy servant. In other words, that I've been graced to do this. That without the master coming to my aid, I would have been left helpless and hopeless. But because I got a good master, it's my pleasure to be able to serve. I want every head bowed. I want to do a couple of things in this moment. Because I really believe that where God is getting ready to expand this ministry, he wants you to become a model for a new generation of true servanthood. And I believe today in this room, I believe in this room today, there are persons here that, first of all, I want to do two things. One, you're here, and the first thing that you need to surrender and give to God is your life. You need to surrender your life to God. Before God can use your skills, your talents, your abilities, you got to surrender you to him. If you're here right now and you're in this moment and you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ, you haven't accepted him as your Lord and Savior, you haven't totally surrendered to him and made him Lord of your life, in a moment I want to give you an opportunity to do that. Or maybe you're here and you may be strayed away from God, and today you just kind of need to reconnect, rededicate your life to God. Or maybe you're here and you have been hanging around the Bridge for a while, but you haven't really made a commitment. You've been dating, you've been hanging out, but I hear God saying today is a day of commitment. Today is a day of connection. If that's you, my brother and sister, and you want to surrender your life to Jesus Christ right where you are, would you just lift your hand? Would you just lift your hand if you're here? In Jesus' name. While we're still in this moment of prayer, while we're still in this moment of reflection, I want to ask you a question. If you're here and you're not serving anywhere in this ministry, you're not serving, but you really have a heart and you really have a desire to want to serve, to want to help, to want to be a part. You may not even know where yet, but your heart is already postured in the right place. All God needs is a willing heart. If you're here in this moment right now and you're not serving in any ministry, but you heard the word today, now it's time for the word, for you to apply this word to your life. If you're in this moment right now and you're not serving anywhere, but you want to say, God, yes, I'm willing. I want to serve. I want to have a servant's heart. I want to be a part of what you're doing. I just want you to lift your hand in the air right now if you're here. Say, yes, I want to serve. I want to be a part. I want to get connected. I want you to just lift your hand. Good, I see one. I see two. Good, good. Who else? As your pastor is coming, keep those hands up. I see three. Good, good. Yeah. I see three. Is there four? There's another one. There's another one. Yes, Lord. They say, God, it's my pleasure. Whatever I can do to help, wherever I can help, wherever I can get plugged in, whatever I can do, God. When I think about all you've done for me, this is the least I can do for you. I can volunteer. I can help in some way, some fashion, some form. Now, for you four that have lifted your hands, can you just stand in this moment, and can we all just give God praise in this place? As your pastor is coming, come on, give the Lord praise. Slap five with somebody next to you and tell them, it's my pleasure, it's my pleasure.
Amen. Can we put our hands together for Pastor Nelson? For awesome work. Come on, church. Amen. Amen. You know, one of the things that's so amazing about what Jesus has done for us is that it's not meant just to, like, take up residence in us, but it's designed to flow through us. So, like, our church has always been a church of not, like, what you can come and get, but